Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Julio Diaz. He is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, which is heard at 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio. And also, he is the host and founder of the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. And this interview is brought to you by Sunday Market on Palafox. Make Sunday Market on Palafox part of your Sunday routine every Sunday in downtown Pensacola from 11:30 to 3:30. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Back rooms with Chiwetel Ejiofor and a bunch of other people. What is this? This is the big one this week?
I'm impressed with your pronunciation on Chiwetel Ejiofor. That's not an easy name.
I like him as an actor. He's really great.
I do too. I'm a big fan of him as well. And the female lead in this is Renee Renzi, who's an Oscar nominee as well. So big caliber acting in this. This is an interesting story because this started out as a web short by this guy who's basically a self-made filmmaker. He, had this idea, went out and made this little web short. It gained a following, and he got the funding to turn it into a feature film, and that's what he's done. So first-time feature director and writer. And
interesting. It's like food truck becomes restaurant.
Yeah, kind of. It's so it's this interesting horror concept. There's this movement in horror that's called liminal horror that it's kind of more about the atmosphere and things going on just outside the scope of view and that sort of thing. The movie came out a couple of years ago. Skinamarink is one of those, which I didn't really care for, but this really seems to have caught on. It's great reviews on it. Chiwetel Ejiofor owns a furniture store that he is also living in because he has been estranged from his wife. She's kicked him out of the house. And a lot of the movie has to do with him talking to his therapist and hearing that over what's going on in the movie. But he discovers that there's this infinite array of back rooms in the back of his store that he's never seen before.
Okay.
And there's some mysterious figure far in the distance of these back rooms and goes exploring through these back rooms, and that's where all the horror happens.
No, I like the premise in the sense of, everybody's who's ever worked at a store that had a back room, we've all had that heebie-jeebie kind of feel about going back there at some point, especially if the lights are out. I kind of like the premise there. Yeah. How's it rated? Rotten Tomatoes-ing?
Yeah, reviews are great. 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. So this is I think this is going to be a real sleeper. This is not one that, was really on a lot of the Hollywood radar, but there seems to be a lot of interest in it. So it's going to do better than I think people think.
The Breadwinner with Mandy Moore and Colin Jost. What?
You're burying the lead here. Neither one of them is the lead of the movie.
Okay.
The lead of the movie is Nate Bargatze.
Okay. All right.
The stand-up comic. This is. You remember, I feel like when I think about this movie, I saw Mr. Mom in the 80s. That's kind of what this movie is, but with a little bit of a postmodern spin.
Okay.
Mandy Moore's his wife. They've got, I think it's three kids. And the mom's been the one that's always kept the house running and, kept the family together. Well, she comes up with this household invention. She goes on Shark Tank. She gets this massive offer to, build this into something that could, secure their entire future, but she's got to go away for a while.
Okay.
And he's got to run the house. And of course, it's the dad's inept and doesn't know what he's doing.
I think I have seen the ad for this. Okay. And is it rated well? How's it performing?
Not well at all.
Not good.
It's about 25% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Tuner.
Yeah. Another one looks really interesting. Dustin Hoffman is in this and, it's about his kind of protege as a piano tuner. He's working with a young man who has an incredibly sensitive sense of hearing, which makes him a great piano tuner. Also makes him really great at cracking safes.
Because
he can hear, he can hear the tumbler. So he falls in with these criminals who want to use his talents for that. That ends up jeopardizing this relationship that he has budding with, this young composer. And, you know, so you get this kind of crime cape. And kind of remind the concept kind of reminds me a little bit of Baby Driver, although not with the big action of, you know, of that movie. But great reviews on this as well, over 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
God, but how many movies have I had to watch about piano tuners who are also safecrackers? It's like everywhere. Pressure, last one for the week.
Yeah, and again, pretty good reviews on this one as well. This is about the lead up to the D-Day invasion with Brendan Fraser playing Dwight D. Eisenhower. It's him and his captain trying to decide whether they're going to do this. And if they don't do it, they run the risk of losing the war. But if they do it, you know, we all know what happened with D-Day, you know, so... So it's all about that run-up. And again, very positive reviews on this one as well.
All right, very good. What are you going to watch next week? Do you know yet?
So I believe we've got Masters of the Universe coming out next week, which I am weirdly interested in because I've never been like a huge fan of the property.
Yeah.
But the trailers on this look like they're a lot of fun. The director, Travis Knight, has only done one previous live-action film, but it was the only watchable Transformers movie, Bumblebee. Which is actually really fun. And he also did one of the best animated movies of the last 20 years, Kubo and the Two Strings. He's the guy behind the Laika Animation Studio. So this looks like the right mix of camp and like Flash Gordon-y kind of fun. So I'm here for it.
Well, as long as you always remember, especially when we talk about it next week, that truly I have the power. Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola on Saturdays at 4 o'clock and also the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. Always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
So why did Jimmy Patronus get canceled by Brother Andrew? Find out next in the Transgressors Memorial Service. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Just we don't have an accident, but we've got a disabled vehicle blocking the exit ramp on I-10 westbound at the Pine Forest exit. So just be aware of that. It's starting to cause traffic to back up. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Spend your Sunday in the heart of downtown Pensacola at the Sunday Market on Palafox. Every Sunday from 11:30 to 3:30, you'll find fresh local produce, handmade goods, art, and great food from Pensacola's own makers. It's the perfect stop after church or brunch, and a great way to support the small businesses that make our community special. Make Sunday Market on Palafox part of your Sunday routine. Every Sunday, downtown Pensacola.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thank you, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve. Especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Congressman Jimmy Patronus, who this week filed a bill that would make it legal for ordinary citizens to purchase fully automatic machine guns. I know, In the post-Columbine, post-Sandy Hook, post-Parkland world, you would think even the bloodthirsty gun zealots at that dreaded violence emporium people euphemistically refer to as the NRA would have some shred of common sense about reasonable gun restrictions. Well, obviously they don't. But we know that no law-abiding citizen should be trusted with full-blown weapons of war. Now, I know we've always been using the label weapons of war for the current so-called sporting rifles, or what we like to call assault weapons, even though we knew that was a lie, since soldiers certainly don't go into war with semi-automatic rifles. And since we've already ratcheted up the rhetoric to 11 about currently legal semi-automatic weapons like AR-15s and AK-47s being weapons of war, you might think it would make us look like hypocrites to now complain about actual weapons of war being made available for sale. But as you know, logical consistency has never been our thing, especially when it comes to guns, about which we proudly know nearly nothing. Well, we know enough to know that every so often in a conversation about guns, you have to use some obscure technical term like pistol grip or double-barreled magazines to give a sense that you really know what you're talking about. It's also important to never mention that the real purpose of the Second Amendment is to defend against foreign invasion or domestic tyranny, and to instead distract people with rhetorical questions like, why do you need a machine gun to hunt pheasant? Or nobody needs pistol-driven barrel shrouds for home defense. See how smart I sound when I say that? So whether we're protesting against sawed-off bump stocks, or the fundamental danger of pinching your fingers on a Picatinny rail, or the way that only gangbangers use 12-gauge carbines, it's important to demonstrate, pretend expertise, and hope the low-information voters don't know any better. So just as we've always been against extended magnifying glasses and all assault weapons, even ones in .38 caliber, we hereby cancel Congressman Jimmy Patronis for the next level lunacy of trying to legalize machine guns, even though we aren't really entirely sure what they are. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, a single unidentified six-year-old in Great Britain for the highest of offenses against diversity, equity, and inclusion in the fourth degree. What did this little boy do? Well, his Beaver Scout troop, the British equivalent of Cub Scouts, visited the Central Islamic Center in Stirling, Scotland as part of their work on earning their faith activity badge. While at the Islamic worship site, it was time for the call to prayer, or Adhan, and as they have been shown to do, the 11 children all knelt down and prostrated themselves in the direction of Mecca, just like obedient Muslims do. So far, so good. But this one little boy, the 12th man, so to speak, for reasons that seem utterly inexplicable to us, decided to engage in the blasphemous, sacrilegious, offensive, and incredibly rude and disrespectful behavior of remaining standing, while everyone else bowed in submission to Allah. He didn't even wear a kufi, which all the others had done, and although it's hard to tell for sure from the brief video, he might even have kept his shoes on. Now, it's true that we don't know much about this incident, except that right-wingers and Christian supremacists have seized upon it as an example of childhood righteousness. They love it because they're anti-Islamic xenophobes who think everyone from the Middle East is a terrorist. But we can assume the boy is some sort of Christian who didn't want to pray like a Muslim to Allah, the god of another religion, but that's precisely the problem. One of the key ideas of our order, the First 15th Perfect Faith Community of Doctrinal Ambiguity and Inclusive Holiness, Atlanta Synod, Reformed, twice, is that all religions are basically the same, except for biblical Christianity, which is completely wrong. And everyone should be required to show all other religious practitioners respect and honor, except for biblical Christians, who deserve no consideration and should probably be thrown in jail. Now, yes, it's true that we tend to say that all religions are equal, but what we really mean is that you can believe whatever you want, unless it's biblical Christianity. And what this boy has done is make it seem like being a Christian who only worships the God of the Bible is a normal thing, and that disrespecting another religion like Islam is okay, when what he should have done was go along to get along and bow down like everyone else. Now, obviously, we would never be comfortable with this same group of young Beaver Scouts going to a Baptist service or a Catholic service or a Pentecostal service, for goodness sakes, and certainly not asking them to actively participate in any of those rituals or sacraments. But when it comes to other religions like Islam, Buddhism, Shintoism, Hinduism, or even liberal Christianity, it's inclusion for everyone. Now, yes, we have historically pretended that we believe in the right of the individual to dissent from the crowd, to stand up or kneel and do whatever he thinks is right. But of course, it's different when it comes to a six-year-old Christian literally standing up for what he believes. Who do you think you are? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? There's no golden idol in front of you, boy. After all, it's not a Buddhist temple you're being asked to prostrate yourself before, so shame on you, you little Scottish troublemaker. for daring to take religious practices so seriously that you won't do them just because everyone else is. We cast thee out of the communion of absolute love, tolerance, and inclusion, where there clearly is no place for people like you. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our Acacia Wood gavel of justice this week goes to the Belgian courts, who have now convicted Dries van Langenhove twice for violations of the nation's anti-racism law. In a 2024 lecture at Catholic University Leuven, van Langenhove gave evidence and data to show that mass migration into Belgium has been linked with a dramatic spike in crime and deterioration of the quality of life in the nation. Naturally, the authorities charged him with incitement to hatred. And to their great credit, the judges completely ignored the fact that everything van Langenhove said was, in fact, a fact. But that's where we see the true brilliance of the anti-racism law, in that it prohibits anyone from saying anything that would create a hostile atmosphere towards immigrants, even if the things being said are true. As one judge wrote, quote, "Even if all of the statements made by van Langenhove are based on scientific evidence and statistics, it makes no difference to the criminal intent. Van Langenhove is not charged with spreading false information. He is charged with presenting facts in a way that incites hatred against persons on the grounds of one or more of the protected criteria in the anti-racism law," end quote. This is so beautiful. The court is saying that it literally doesn't matter whether he's saying true things. The only thing that does matter is that he's saying mean things. If it is rude enough, hateful enough, offensive enough, othering enough, in other words, intolerant enough, then he goes to jail. Even though van Langenhove showed decisively that housing shortages, lowering education standards, and rising crime are all statistically tied to large-scale immigration, you cannot say that in Belgium. If only America could be this advanced. Can you imagine how wonderful it would be if we didn't have to bother debating our adversaries about the truth of our claims, but could simply censor or imprison them for being meanies? Unfortunately, in this country, under the stupid First Amendment, truth is an absolute defense against defamation claims. But what if it weren't? What if you only had to prove someone hurt someone else's reputation or character or feelings or said something politically unpleasant? Just think of how many people we could round up then. And the ones who didn't get caught up in the initial purge would very quickly learn to keep their dissenting, fact-based, offensive views to themselves. Win-win! So yes, Belgium, well done. You are literally leading the way in advancing us toward the age of Orwell, where war is peace and freedom is slavery and ignorance is strength because the rules don't matter and the points are made up. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
I'm still reformed twice. I still love that, man.
You know what bothers me? I got Jonathan Owens in here, and we've been kind of chatting, and I came up with, like, lines I should have used.
Right.
Like, he was reverse Kaepernicking.
Oh.
You know, like, when you kneel when you're supposed to stand, that's a good thing, but when you stand when you're supposed to kneel, that's a bad thing. Real stories, by the way. I never make up the stories.
Wow.
Anyway, go ahead, John.
All right. So no accidents to report to you, but we're still dealing with the disabled vehicle blocking the exit to Pine Forest I-10 westbound. So just be aware that traffic is starting to back up a little there. Other than that, things look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you need to get any work done on the complicated systems in your home, plumbing, air conditioning, electrical, heating, generator stuff, which is electrical, obviously, Peden, they can take care of you for that. Anything like that. It's good quality people, good quality products, installation, 100% satisfaction guarantee all along the Gulf Coast. You know, the company started, gosh, in 1969, Robert Peden wanted to, you know, help people be cool in Panama City in the summer in Florida. Go figure. He built that into a business that now is all those other product lines, also territorially. It's been in Pensacola for a long time, all the way east to Tallahassee in the eastern time zone, west past the state line into Baldwin County and over into Mobile over the last couple of years. So anywhere in that vicinity, call them for this stuff. And this spring, you can get 2 years of smart care for free with any new air conditioning system purchased from Peden. That's scheduled maintenance, priority service, so you go to the front of the line, 15% off repairs, all included. Call or book online at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Eight people are confirmed dead after a chemical tank imploded at a paper mill in Longview, Washington earlier this week. Three others remain unaccounted for. This is the Nippon Dynawave plant there. The tank that imploded contained about 900,000 gallons of a noxious chemical mixture used in making paper. A Texas man is in custody for allegedly threatening to kill Erica Kirk. The CEO of Turning Point USA is scheduled to appear at an event in San Antonio this week. On Thursday, police arrested Jacob Wensky for allegedly posting a threat. And Andrew, have you been following the posts the White House has been making? They posted a bizarre series of videos teasing an announcement about aliens and saying they walk among us. But the buildup didn't lead to a space alien reveal, rather ICE and immigration arrest data at a new website called aliens.gov.
You know what? I think we should make a frivolous
You shouldn't have told him. People need to go there.
Yeah, they should just go and watch. I think that should be a frivolous topic next week. If they turned out to be an alien, you wouldn't be surprised. I want names.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Awaiting the big decision from President Trump whether to approve a 60-day ceasefire extension with Iran to come to terms on nuclear weapons in the Strait of Hormuz. The president tells Fox the considerations.
They cannot have a nuclear weapon. Most people agree with me on that. But then it gets maybe carried into, you know, the next election, whether it's a midterm or not. So you have a very short window for doing anything having to do with war. But I don't view that window. I view it, I have to do what's right.
Progressive Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson had a Vatican visit with Chicago native Pope Leo, discussed Iran, Gaza, Cuba, slavery, says he prayed for the Pope's protection and safety. No word on protecting other Chicagoans from violent crime. And former Attorney General Pam Bondi appears behind closed doors for a House Oversight Committee grilling on the Epstein files. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3, 77 degrees. We've got cloudy skies at the moment. We'll get a full look at our forecast. That's up here in just a few minutes. A Pensacola resident wants to put life rings along the Palafox Street waterfront. Councilman Charles Baer says he agrees that should happen. District 2 constituent Bill Waters told the Pensacola Council last night that there's nothing along the railing from Plaza de Luna to Wahoo Stadium that somebody who fell in could grab onto. Baer says the city does have a responsibility once somebody's in the water.
I really think we need to figure that out. Discretionary funds are one way we could fund something like that. If we don't have funding within public safety, I just think there needs to be some way to address that issue and look at potential of having life rings or something in case someone falls in there. And yes, it's not our responsibility to keep people from falling in, but if they do fall in, I think then there becomes a responsibility for us to help them get out.
And Waters said he raised the issue with the council before by email, then came in person last night to ask who's responsible for addressing it. He says life rings are standard at waterfront parks in other cities, and he says that stretch draws people of all ages year-round. Now, there's a public dispute brewing between the Escambia County Sheriff and the Orange Beach Mayor. Sheriff Chip Simmons posting on social media that allegations of Alabama police officers dropping homeless individuals off in Pensacola. Sheriff Simmons posted body camera footage on Facebook showing what he said was one of those incidents outside of the waterfront mission.
I just didn't know that compassion had state lines. I mean, you know, I applaud my officer for caring enough to want to help him, and that's all it was, trying to help.
That's Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kennan, who says he doesn't think the police officer did anything wrong and says the man asked to come to Pensacola. Sheriff Simmons said it goes far beyond a single case. He told Channel 3 he's heard reports of dozens or possibly hundreds of similar drop-offs. Well, PPD's got some new patrol vehicles. They unveiled them yesterday, and Police Chief Eric Winstrom says the new silver Ford Explorers are designed to save money from the day they're purchased until the day they're retired. The department is replacing the older Tahoes with the new silver Explorers as part of a long-term fleet transition.
That paint color scheme saved us $1,600 just in switching from the black and white to the gray. And then a savings, which we're not sure what it's going to equal yet. At the end of the life of the vehicles that we have, we don't throw them out, obviously. You know, we'll auction them off, sell them. But what we've seen is selling that black and white police vehicle isn't as easy as it sounds. Selling what, once the decals are removed, is a solid color silver gray Ford Explorer much easier.
Windstrom says the Explorers also cost less up front, get better gas mileage, and the department's also saving money by doing their vehicle graphics in-house as well. The full fleet transition is expected to take around 3 years. Now, the city of Pensacola says it's working with AT&T and Lumos to address complaints about fiber optic installation work around city neighborhoods. Mayor D.C. Reeves says crews are slowing production and restoring disturbed yards within 48 hours. Residents had reported issues including open holes, exposed materials, and damage to sprinkler and sewer lines during some of those construction projects. It's 8:35. At News Radio, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. We are rolling accident-free still. Good job on that. And also delay-free. I-10, I-110, everything's flowing smoothly. I'm not seeing anything to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will be seeing a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, otherwise mostly cloudy skies, high near 83 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Saturday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 84 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Heading into Sunday, 50% chance of rain, high near 87. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 75. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, it is 77 degrees with cloudy skies. Your money now today at the opening bell. Our markets are up. The Dow's up over 0.25% at 50,833.21. S&P up 0.25%, just over 0.25% at 75,81.84. NASDAQ is up just under 0.25% right now, 26,977.96. 10-year bond rate is down slightly at 4.44% this morning. Looking at those commodity rates, gold price is up $25.50 at $45.5790. Silver's up 10 cents at $75.99 this morning. Crypto is down. Bitcoin down just over $330 today. Current price at $73,025. And looking at our gas prices, the national average from AAA today is at $4.39. The Florida state average at $4.16. Seeing prices around Escambia County at $3.91. Around Santa Rosa County at $3.96 this morning. New inflation report says consumer prices were at their highest level in nearly 3 years in April. The latest personal consumption expenditures price index, which is the Federal Reserve's preferred inflation gauge, rose last month by an annual rate of 3.8%. That's up from 3.5% in March, 2.8% in February. Anthropic is now the world's most valuable artificial intelligence startup. The company reached a $965 billion valuation after announcing that it raised $65 billion from private investors. The announcement put Anthropic ahead of OpenAI, which reached an $852 billion valuation in March. Last night's rocket explosion at Cape Canaveral, not slowing down launch operations on the Space Coast.
12 hours after Blue Origin's New Glenn rocket exploded on the pad at Launch Complex 36 at the Cape Canaveral Space Force Station, at Launch Complex 40, it was business as usual.
Ignition. And
SpaceX successfully launching one of their Falcon 9 rockets with more Starlink satellites. Damage assessments at Pad 36 continue, and an investigation is underway into the New Glenn explosion while determining what impact it will have on future missions to the moon. I'm Rory O'Neill.
And it's 8:38. Our next news at 9, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Planning your vacation? Why not take Pep Talk with Meg with you?
A vacation? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't wait to go. Okay, where are we going to go first?
No, take News Radio along via the app.
Oh.
Just go to your app store, search News Radio 92.3, download the app.
Okay.
And listen to Pensacola's news leader with crystal clarity wherever you go.
And it's absolutely free.
That'll work.
Get it now and tap the app to get News Radio 92.3 no matter where in the world you are.
Jump, 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 jump. I said a hip, hop,
the hip it of a hip hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 wrap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
I love that Dave Peach's time as a commissioner continues to live on in my rap bumper, stager. That's great. All right, it is time for the wrap. That means I have a couple of friends here in studio with me. In case you don't know, I'm Andrew McKay. Nice to meet you. Shake your hand, but, you know, it's hard over radio. Jonathan Owens, many times, has been on. He's a good friend, dear friend. Welcome back, Jonathan.
Good morning. Welcome.
And Steve Brentrow, who we've had on a few times. He was most closely involved with the, what did you call it exactly, Perdido what?
Looking into the town of Perdido.
Thank you. And Envision Perdido is kind of the idea now, which, by the way, before we get to going, because I will forget if we don't do it, you're launching, you tell them.
Yeah, so we got a discovery platform that's coming out here in the next few days.
What does that mean, a discovery platform?
Well, it started as a community calendar, but we figured out there's so much to do in Perdido, and people just need to hear about it and discover it, both for tourists and locals.
Okay.
So we wanted to, you know, find a way to keep more money in the local economy, because every dollar you spend in the local economy, you know,
right.
I think 2/3 of it, something is the statistic, stays in the local economy, creates more jobs and stuff. So
excellent. But you, the website you're launching when, like Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday?
Hopefully this weekend.
I can't say what it is yet.
I tried to do it this morning.
Oh.
I just couldn't get it done.
Oh, bummer. All right.
But
well,
it's going to be, it's going to be playperdido.com.
Oh, all right.
Nothing's there yet, but you'll see.
But you'll see that eventually. Okay, yep. Fantastic. We'll look forward to it. The Transportation Planning Organization, Road Priorities Chairmanship. This to me, in local politics, this is like the perfect storm. This is, you've got, you know, personal resentments and bitter politics and, you know, people ambushing other people on a board where the right people weren't there. I mean, it's a funky little wild story for people who might not have been paying attention. Two big things happened at the most recent TPO. Number one, the priority list for the non-funded project priorities changed, where Highway 90 moved up, the widening of Highway 90 in Milton moved up from 7 to 4. That's the only thing that really matters on the list that changed. The other stuff is kind of irrelevant. That's one. And number two, brought by Santa Rosa County people and then agreed to by the rest of the board, but Stephen Berry was missing 4 other commissioners there. There was only one from Santa Rosa that was missing. The other part of this was Heather Lindsay, the mayor of Milton, kind of, in my opinion, ambushed the board with renominating Stephen Berry, an Escambia County commissioner, to do a second term when Kerry Smith, a Santa Rosa County commissioner, is the vice chair and would be the next most logical person to have up. And then it was seconded by a Santa Rosa County commissioner who has now apologized for that, because it's weird that they wouldn't want their say. Let's start there, Jonathan. You've worked with this organization for a long time. Obviously, when you were working with Doug Underhill, he sat on it. How much does the board chairmanship really matter? Deep sigh. All right. What wellspring of unhappiness have I tapped into here?
So many of those TPO meetings that I thought this could have been a PowerPoint presentation.
I see.
So
they are kind of pro forma, a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah. It could have been an email, a meeting that could have been an email.
Yeah.
Does the position from a chairmanship matter? Yeah, because you've helped set those priorities that never get prioritized or executed.
It's not wrong.
You know, like Sorrento Road has been on that up and down in the top 10 for, I don't know, a decade that I know of, at least.
And just for clarity, it's number 5. It was number 5 before. It's still number 5. That didn't get changed. People kind of misunderstood that. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, great. Where's the money?
It might as well be number 30.
Right. I mean,
it's not more funded than Burgess Road is funded.
Right. The statement was, well, you know, if it's not in the top 5, you know, it really doesn't matter. Okay, well, if it's in the top 5, when's it going to matter?
Yeah.
You know, just because it's in the top 5. So the fact that Commissioner Berry was reappointed as the chairman, to me, it's a non-issue.
Doesn't matter that much.
It doesn't really matter.
It's a weird slight. It does change some things, but it would matter if the TPO actually had more power.
Yes.
Is that fair?
The Florida-Alabama Transportation Planning Organization, where people in Alabama make decisions about Florida dollars. Whatever.
Steve?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of things on my top 5 list that are unfunded as well. You know, I've got a Lamborghini, I've got an RV I want to get. But, you know, they're 4 and 5, so.
Well, it's good. Number 5 on my list is a Lambo. I love that. Okay, so that's the other part of this conversation. I mean, how would you change the TPO? How would you improve? Is there a way to make it better? Because it's weird. Like, you get all these politicians together from all... It sounds like a fine idea. Everybody who's affected by regional transportation planning gets together and they decide this is what's important to us, and then FDOT theoretically listens. And they do, I guess. But, you know, it's people jawing about hundreds of millions of dollars of projects, and then they get tens of millions of dollars of funding.
How about this concept? Let's eliminate it.
Okay.
Let's each of the counties come up with a priority. Here's our top five roads that we would like FDOT to fund. And here's the money that we're going to put with it to help make it happen.
You mean like matching normal funds, infrastructure development?
Like normal infrastructure development. Let's do that. And then Santa Rosa County can vie to their legislature or FDOT, and they can drive over to Chipley and say, hey, we've got $5 million or $10 million or $50 million to widen Highway 90 to match with your other $50 million. You guys got the budget for it? Nope. Oh, okay. Well, Scambia County, well, we've got, you know, we need to widen Beulah Road to the, we're going to help fund that. I mean, what a novel concept. Here's the dollars that we're going to put towards infrastructure within our own county.
Yeah, I like that. And my own personal life, I save up if I want something, you know?
Right.
I make it happen. I don't wait for somebody to come by and say, hey, here's some peanuts. You know, waiting for a handout. I make stuff happen.
And then you save up and then you go find a grant to match. No.
Yeah, there
but,
you go.
You know, if I it's can, possible. Sure. Right, if that's available. we got the wrap going on. We're talking to Jonathan Owens and Steve Brentro. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still no accidents or delays. I-10, I-110, everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
It seems like, and I've only lived here for 13 years, okay, but it seems like the TPO and the priority list and, like, the all of it is if you went out of your way to make a dysfunctional bureaucracy run a thing that should be done by other means and should be done efficiently, it seems like that's this. Because I get the appeal from FDOT's perspective. They kind of want to regionalize their spending, and they'd like to hear from the region what's important. But if we have counties and we have county governments, or we have cities and city governments, I mean, I don't see the need for the TPO, like you say.
To the person living in Beulah that is concerned about traffic, does it really matter if the road is widened, and do they care if highway, 90 gets in downtown Milton? They don't care. They don't. Why would they? They don't necessarily ever go to Milton. Now, if they go to the Milton, they may care.
And the people and the people in Milton, surely most of the time have no interest whatsoever in whether, you know, Escambia County owns Beulah Road or Perdido Key Drive, or whether they fix Sorrento Road, because how often do they drive on it? I live in Escambia County. I almost never drive on Sorrento Road. You know, maybe a dozen times in my life. Right. So it seems to be more sensible that the people you've elected who are accountable to you for the results would handle the lobbying of the, you know, transportation department for the money to make the roads happen that we care about.
What if we took 10 years worth of discretionary funding for each of the commissioners and used it for actual infrastructure and put that into a pot and said, okay, FDOT, here's, you know, however many.
$2.5 million.
Right, $2.5 million.
It's a quarter million a year.
That we will put towards a number one project or whatever.
You mean like setting up a specific escrow type account where we put money into it because we say this bridge, this road, this project needs to be done. We're going to accumulate money there, and then we're going to be able to go out and look for matching. Is that what you're talking about?
It's crazy, isn't it?
I don't think it'll work.
I don't think it'll work.
But then it could. And then you'd have to explain to people why you robbed that to pay for something else, or why you changed the priority list, or, you know,
right,
whatever.
And talk about things that government is inherently supposed to do, like infrastructure.
Such a weird, naive optimist, and so simple. All right, so that's one thing I had on my list. the property tax issue, I've talked about this quite a bit. Let me get
your
take.
Speaking of taxes, right? Yeah, spending the people's money.
taking the people's money.
What if it all happens the way DeSantis envisions, right? He's either got people who are philosophically on side, or they're so scared of getting their budget line item vetoed, their stuff, which is, I mean, a real thing. He's bragged about it already. If that's not the real reason he's scheduled it for right now, I don't know what is. But okay, fine. He's doing power politics to get this thing done. So it's going to cost Santa Rosa, I think Alex Andrade estimated like $40 million for the county, and then also again for the school board. Okay. And I think 70 in Escambia, and that would be school board too. Now the proposal is school board too. Remember the earlier proposals exempted the school board spending. So if this happened, would you be happy? Would you be scared? Can counties and cities survive? Steve, what do you think?
I think it's just hand waving. Like, you're going to give me a break on my property taxes, but you're going to take it from someplace else. It's not like they're going to try to save money. You know, again, when government's like, hey, you know what? We're going to spend less. Really, we're going to spend less.
So the what? They're going to increase fees. They're going to try to increase commercial property taxes.
Sales tax. It's going to come out of some.
Well, there's nothing on the table right now. Like the sales tax one, there's caps on that, right? There's only so much they can do. Mm-hmm. So the state would have to alleviate, which they've shown no willingness to do, right?
Right. But down the road, when the county doesn't have the money that it needs and they go to the state, this is going to happen across Florida. You know, there's going to be some backlash from it, and the money's going to have to come from someplace to fund everything that was taken away.
I worry that too, because although I think government never shrinks of its own inertia, I also think that, you know, just chopping out that much is going to have an effect on services. We're going to have to see something. The question is, what do we see? They say it won't be. We're going to lose, you know, paramedics and, you know, fire trucks and sheriff's deputies, but I don't know where the cuts are going to come from. What do you think, Jonathan? What happens if this passes?
Well, politically, I think DeSantis is just, you know, hey, I'm not going to be a lame duck governor on the way out.
Right.
And
he won't even be governor when this goes into effect.
Right.
If it does.
And I'm going to put this all on the people that are running for office in term to make a vote on it. So kudos to him for Heisman, you know, away on the way out, you know, kind of like giving everybody the, I gotcha, you know. So do I think it'll pass? Hey, I'm a small government kind of guy. I would vote for reducing property taxes, and I'm sure someone's going to text me or scold me since I worked in local government, and I should understand how important tax dollars are for, you know, maintaining the machine. I get it. Yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, if I could get a, you know, discount on what I currently have, I would also take not having to pay as much in insurance too.
Yeah. I would much enjoy that. And I have said, like, my whole life I have hated property taxes, and I still do. I think it's a ridiculous tax. Why should you have to pay a tax on the unrealized improved value of your home? That's a problem. The inconsistency of it, that, you know, I'm paying, let's say, you know, I'm paying $5,000. My neighbor who bought the house new and doesn't have a homestead exemption is paying $10,000. That's insane. The justification for why these people pay and why the bigger house, the whole thing is crazy, plus the renting from the government. That said, I think it's a massive revenue stream that the government needs at least some of, and it will really hurt government operations if they lose it. But at the same time, I'm obviously close to all these government people, okay? So I hear them complaining about, if this happens, it'll be what Stephen Barry called apocalyptic. Well, that was for the local option sales tax, okay? Can government function on the less they would have if homestead exemptions went to where they were? I mean, we may find out. Would that world be terrible? Would our roads be like Louisiana? I mean, not right away.
Or Detroit or Chicago.
Yeah, right.
Or
I don't know. Maybe we find out that cutting the budget by 20 or 30% winds up being okay. And we're all just keeping the money and enjoying our life better. I don't know.
I think if you find an efficient local government, they'll do fine. But good luck.
Are you offering to incorporate one by chance? We're past that now. Okay, fair enough. I don't know. What do you think about the process? The threat that clearly, I mean, the governor is doing everything he can, every arm twisting maneuver he can do to make this happen.
I think it's a lot of hand waving, like Steve said. I mean, it's, you know, hey, look at me.
Yeah, we got this done.
Lots of states are doing this right now. Missouri's doing it. Mm-hmm. Was 2 years ago. North Dakota was trying to do it. It's a popular Republican topic.
How long have we complained about property taxes? And I, you know, and now we're getting it. And some people are, and me, you know, like, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, be careful what you wish for. But we could become one of the few states in the nation, I think, not the only, that has no income tax, no property tax. Might be the only, but that's wild. That's a pretty big bragging, right? People will come to move here. Do we want them? I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see what actually makes it to the ballot.
Yeah,
I agree. The special session coming up will be, I think, especially because it's falling in a gubernatorial race.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people paying more attention than there ever has been to, you know, state and local politics. I tell you what, I really think the big push too is it's going to cripple home rule. Because if you pull the money away and you force it into a sales tax goes through where? Tallahassee first before it gets back to us. So it'll be interesting to see. This will be definitely a shot at home rule if this passes.
And part of the one of the elements of the proposal that struck me was there's a list of you can only use ad valorem taxes on these six things basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the loss of the funding that you're not getting, it's the tremendously tight control of the funding you will still preserve in the process. Steve, you're going to say something?
Yeah, I think the loss of home rule is probably the scariest thing because this, you know, everything's based off of the power or the people who are elected by the local locals to the local government. That's the power closest to the people. It's most controllable. When it gets out of that realm and it goes to the state level, we have hardly any say. And, you know, that's kind of how this whole thing was going. You know, you mentioned the town thing. That's why it didn't work. It's not because it wasn't feasible. It's not because the people didn't want it. It's because Tallahassee wants to centralize power in Tallahassee.
I mean, clearly, because, yeah.
You know, they feel like that's their job.
I feel like the, you know, we talk about Palafox, like, you know, what would it be like if we made it an actual, you know, walk pedestrian only? And, you know, that's not going to happen. But I feel like Tallahassee is kind of, you know, if tomorrow or in a year from now they said, you know, we just decided to get rid of cities and towns and counties, it wouldn't be that big of a surprise. Like, it would just kind of,
not the way it's going.
Oh, well, we kind of suspected, you know, we've kind of been, you know, not even inching. We've been footing at a time towards that end result. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents or delays to slow you down this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Yeah, and you make a good point about how often do we hear it complained about that, you know, the Panhandle only has so many representatives and downstate has tons. And just trying to get our fair share, let alone to getting done what's right for us, has been a challenge. You know, retaining powers, getting our fair share of whatever the case may be, that's kind of always been our issue. I want to give you credit for something, Jonathan.
What?
You made me change my opinion.
On?
On the contractor competency board position that Mel Luna has, with Ashley Hoffberger, her boss, very close friend, being on the Board of County Commissioners. My position had been, you know, not such a big deal for reasons. And, you know, you and I were talking the other day and you said?
Legal, moral, and ethical. Is it legal? Yeah, it's legal. Is it moral? Maybe. Is it ethical? I mean, she had a position that was on a board before her now current boss became the county commissioner. Okay. I'll give you an example. Hassan, who's a commissioner's aide, also had a Steve Stroberger's aide, had a nonprofit. And I think he had to make some changes because he was coming
employed
to work
by the
with.
County.
Right. He was coming to work at the county, which I think his nonprofit received some funding through, I don't know, maybe Skimmy Children's Trust. I don't have all the details on that. But
or just outside agency.
Right.
Funding
outside
agency.
Right. He made some changes. When you go to work at a government entity, you know, you don't, I have businesses outside of when I was working with Commissioner Underhill. I had businesses that, you know, could I have gone and gotten work because of my relationships? I did my best to never, ever, ever put myself in a position that was going.
But you didn't have to give them up.
Right. I didn't have to give them up, but I didn't go like chase. I didn't want to put my commissioner that I worked with
in an
awkward position. So that was my personal choice. Now, you know, Miss Luna can do whatever she sees fit. But I just
don't. Well, you made a strong statement to me. You said that your aide should never be on a board. That didn't make sense to you. That should be citizens outside of the process.
Oh, yeah, 100%. There's 300,000 people here, and, you know, we can't find somebody else to be on the contractor competency board except for someone that works for one of the county commissioners. She probably should, you know, step away.
And part of what persuaded me, too, was realizing that this is a quasi-judicial, that the contractor competency board hearings are quasi-judicial, and therefore any board of commissioners that hears an appeal from them would be quasi-judicial. And it's an obvious fact that Mel and Ashley talk a lot. And even if they didn't, the relationship is obviously so tight as her aide that makes you wonder. Now, it hasn't ever been a problem yet. But, you know, theoretically, if the contractor competency board was ever really necessary, as in somebody was going to be disciplined and they appealed, well, that's when push comes to shove, right? Mm-hmm. So I changed my opinion about that. It didn't bother me before, and I don't know that it super bothers me now, but I agree with the other side. I think she probably ought to not be on that board. Thoughts, Steve? Any?
Like I said, I come here to get the news.
I'll take that.
Hey, look at that. There's the bumper music coming
in.
We
timed it out just perfectly.
We did. Don't. No more new topics.
You don't want to talk about homeless seconds. Relocation from Orange Beach? I'm just kidding. All right. We won't get in.
How is that actually news?
Oh, quickly, though. Oh, I don't have time. Dang it. I told you I had a special topic that I wasn't warning you about. Teenagers aren't taking summer jobs anymore. Like, the numbers are down, 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 way down. There are fewer now than since the 40s. Teenagers just aren't working summer jobs. And that's all we have to say about that.